Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 37 of the Nerd Cantina Show. Today, we're going to cover the weekly news, starting with the latest in the Suicide Squad 2 casting.
Some asshole swatters finally get their due justice.
We're going to have a little bit of a space talk around some super Earths and black holes.
Big updates in the Huawei discussion.
And then we've got the Apple TV news announcing, and there's a lot surrounding that. It's a pretty heavy week, so let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, welcome, nerds, to episode 37. Really, let's get right into some entertainment news. I know you recently saw a movie, and for the Nerd Cantina, we always want to remind you, you can head over to thenerdcantina.com for the latest written review, and for the YouTube videos, head to our YouTube channel. You'll find us there also at the Nerd Cantina. But Steve, you saw a good one, huh?
Yeah, I went and saw that Hustlers because I'm a warm-blooded male, and Jay Lowe in a G-string gets me to activate that movie pass. So I went and saw it, not expecting much, just kind of expecting, you know, some sexy women to get people to come to the theaters. But it was actually a pretty well-done movie. You know, almost all female cast, crime kind of story. It just, it was really done. J-Lo's a fucking boss in that movie, man. She did a really good job. And the pole dance scene with her alone in it is worth $15.99. If you're not into the story, just take that and put it in your hat and go home. You know, I can't say enough
magic
about
Mike
that
for men.
That's what I said in the review. You know, the women got Magic Mike. They came hard for the men with Hustlers.
Well, you can catch the full review again on thenerdcantina.com. But keeping into entertainment, let's go ahead and roll straight into the latest around Suicide Squad cast, which really was triggered by a tweet from James Gunn that didn't link celebrity names or actors' names with characters, but just blasted out a massive cast of who I'm guessing is confirmed for Suicide Squad 2 now.
Well, it must be confirmed now.
Yeah. No, there's a couple holdouts there that now have negotiating power.
Yeah, for sure. It's, you know, some of the names are familiar from the first one, so you kind of know where it's going. But, you know, other big ones that are obviously going to have new characters, you know, you got John Cena on there. Taika Waititi, the director of Thor Ragnarok. And, you know, he's been dabbling into acting a little more and more. He's got a new release coming out, I think last week or this week too. They left a list of what, 20 actors?
Yeah, it was, I mean, it's a long list, and it's a big cast, and I don't know very much about the comics of Suicide Squad. I know that there's a ton to pull from. And some of the speculation is that there is one of the comic arcs where it's the Suicide Squad going against another villain group. And so there's some speculation that, hey, this cast is so big because maybe he's putting together two separate teams of villains. That'd be a lot to jam into a 2.5-hour movie. But
yeah, I mean, Margot Robbie is Harley Quinn. That's really all that people cared about. I think so. You know. So as long as she came back, I know they lost Will Smith and they're replacing him with Idris Elba. I don't know if Idris Elba's playing the same character or not. There was talks about it.
Yeah, there's talks about him doing Deathstroke 2 instead of, was it Deadshot?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it could go either way.
I don't know. It's still a little cryptic, but a lot of big names up there, so we'll see where this pans out to.
Yeah, and there's so much, I don't know what the right word is for it, but back and forth between people who are diving into both worlds, the DCU and MCU, because you got Michael Rooker no longer in MCU, but moving over into this movie, even like, Taika Waititi, the dude's directing for Marvel, and then he's going to come over here and act for DC. It's just
Well, they also added Nathan Fillion, and he's like, He's like nerd garlic. You just put him on anything and it enhances the nerd level a little bit, you know, like you just sprinkle a little bit of Fillion all over it and it's it's just instantly a little nerdy. You've seen dude a million times. He was in Firefly, he was the captain in Firefly and the movie Serenity with Joss Whedon. And ever since Firefly kind of got canceled, he has this like cult following of just like anything he does, the nerds will flock to. Because I think they just pitied him so bad after Firefly got canceled after like 7 episodes. Yeah, that they're just, Fillion has his own cult following. He's become old one day and he's going to just do too many cons and then start like a cult, you know, out in Texas or something on some ranch one day. The Philianiacs.
But yeah, so the Suicide Squad 2 news, it's not, you know, there isn't a ton coming out of it. But there's a lot of speculation just because there's so many characters and so many people with, you know, I wouldn't say big names. You got a couple decent sized names in there, but it's just a full cast for sure. And the caption or whatever else he put on that was don't get too attached. So you've got to be assuming that that hopefully 50% of them die.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to just a quick Google search, we'll pull up the poster. There's, like I said, there's 20 names on here, so we're not going to ramble them off all of them for you, but it's definitely it's a cast, you know, worth like having some intrigue about, you know. Well, it's creating some buzz after Gunn, you know, Gunn's whole departure from Guardians 3 and then taking on this project. And
yeah,
now,
and if you ever it's gonna want to see these things, you can always do a Google search or just visit us at thenerdcantina.com/show37 or the show notes for any show. If you find something of interest, as we try to put up links to everything that we talk about there. But the next topic to move to was something that I know Steve's been waiting a long time to have happen, and that was some justice getting laid on some of those who are responsible for swatting. First, explain what swatting is in case there's a nerd out there who was like I was a couple months ago who didn't know that this was actually happening.
Yeah, and it happens more often than people really realize. So If you're an online streamer like Twitch or you know, any of those, YouTube, whatever, and you make one of your followers mad, or you kill a guy in game and you embarrassed him online to your mass audience, what they do is it's like a form of doxing. So they find people way smarter than me with a computer will find your IP address, link that to an actual address, and then call in. So there's certain levels of when you call the cops, like that they have to do. Yeah. So if you call in like a kidnapping, they have to raid the house.
Yeah,
like
a lot of them were hostages. People being reported that they were like holding their parents at gunpoint or something else. So it was a lot of hostage situations that are called in.
Yeah, so there's a certain, everyone knows like there's a certain level that'll trigger that SWAT team in a door breach and all that fun jazz. So they'll find your address, call in a kidnapping to that address, and then while you're streaming online, they will watch as the police blow down your door, come in with guns drawn. And like literally, you could look it up on YouTube. There's just all kinds of videos of people just sitting there playing a game, and next thing you know, four cops rush into their bedroom, guns drawn, ready to pop this dude if he moves in the wrong direction. And yeah, they people think it's funny to do that. People think it's a grand old time to put people in high stress situations where their life's at risk. You know, because your hand's on a mouse. You're gaming. You don't expect this. Cops walk in your door, and you're clicking away, and you react in a bad way. You're getting shot. You know, you're getting killed, and it's just such a horrible situation.
And that's what happens in 2017. So in 2017, you have somebody getting swatted as a video game player playing Call of Duty. a young gamer who had just turned 18, got angry at losing a bet with somebody. And he called, really, it's almost like an individual is providing a service to get individuals swatted, which we could talk about in a second. But yeah, he calls SWAT on an individual, and they come in and they ended up shooting and killing the victim of the swatting. And that happened in 2017. And what we get recently this week is the sentencing of that individual. And you're talking about an 18-year-old who's now facing 15 months in prison for recruiting somebody to call in the swatting. He wasn't the one who actually called it. Again, he recruited somebody to SWAT this individual
Another, like, that shows how popular it is. It's like you have like a swatting service. The guy's like, oh, I do it all the time. Like, I know how to look up these guys' addresses, and I'll call it in. Like, pay me money, and I'll ruin people's lives because I really don't give a shit about anybody. Like, it is such a fucked up premise.
The guy who he recruited or that he hired to do this last year pled guilty to 51 counts of making emergency threats and calls as parts of swatting. And that guy got 20 years in prison.
And good. Fuck him.
Yeah. So let that dude rot. 51 times that he admitted to, that he pled guilty to.
That's 51 government brand resources. New front doors. Like, do you realize the cost alone of just front doors? Like, like that is, that's a staggering number alone. Like, man, your entryway door is not cheap. I build houses. You know, and not to mention, like, they're doing it to mostly, like, teenagers and people in their young 20s. A lot of times that live with their parents still, you know. So you got mom and dad watching Wheel of Fortune, you know what I mean? And the fucking SWAT team kicks in the fucking front door, and they have no clue that this is even a thing.
And that's the tough thing. So this happened in Wichita, and like the family still is trying to sue the city of Wichita for the cop shooting their son who was just playing a video game. And man, this is a tough thing. You've got SWAT responding to what they think is an actual armed situation. They go in, and obviously the guy on the computer wasn't even a kid. I think he was like 28 years old or almost 30 years old. Supposedly, like, you know, reached for something on or reached for his waistband or whatever else, and the cop shot him. The SWAT was fully charged coming into an armed situation. So yeah, they're biased to see pretty much any quick movement as an attempt to use that weapon that they thought they were entering to. It's such a dangerous situation to call people to. I'm glad that dude's got 20 years in jail. I'm glad this 18-year-old also has 15 months in jail, because got it, this guy made a dumb decision, but hopefully it just signals to the rest of these idiots who are out there swatting that you're not free from
You can't claim ignorance of knowing the ramifications of swatting someone. You can't say, well, I just thought, you know, cops would knock on dude's door. And like, no, we all know what is going to happen when you swat somebody. We all know that some crazy shit with a high level of confrontation and danger is going to happen. So you can't claim ignorance on it. Like, oh, I just thought it was going to be a little practical joke. Like, this is way over the line of practical jokes. Like,
which is why they needed to toss people in jail for significant periods of time to hopefully teach the community that this isn't a practical joke. This isn't like you just ordered 20 pizzas to their house and you get to laugh at that. Like, you know what I mean? This isn't the same thing.
20 anchovies pizzas, assholes. Have fun paying for those. Like, yeah, no, so, this is fucked up. And like, it is really shitty for like that family. Cause think about it. Like, we didn't do anything wrong. My son's dead. My house is trashed. You motherfuckers need to pay. And then the cops are just like, look, we were just operating to standard procedure we thought you people were kidnapped and needed our assistance. Who's in the wrong? You know what I mean? Like, so do the parents have to sue the kid now? Like, that kid ain't got no money. He's in jail for 20 years. Like, that dude ain't going to give them shit. You know, like, it's who's liable for that kid's life?
I guess it's the people serving 15 months and 20 years in prison. But, you know, that's that's far from enough when it comes to, you know, how just stupid and meaningless this is. I'm sure the family will absolutely never feel okay with it. You know, the shooting itself, you know, I'm sure can be scrutinized as whether it was necessary. Like, but like I said, it's a charged
situation. To me, it seems a little like weird that cops just blow down doors over one phone call. You know what I mean? I get that if it was a real kidnapping, there has to be a certain level of urgency and,
yeah,
and you know, tactics involved. But at the same time, like, you don't call the house first, just double check, see if somebody picks up and act like a robocall or a telemarketer. You know, you don't like
these dudes who were swatting, and I'm sure like they were testing what was going to work. And you never know, like, if this guy calls, I wonder what the 911 calls and stuff sound like. You know, maybe it's the guy calling saying that, like, hey, I'm hiding right now in the closet or whatever else, we're being held at gunpoint, and it, like, trying to make it so no, the dudes don't call. They try to catch the person off guard. If somebody inside is calling saying, hey, I'm held at gunpoint right now, we're located in the front room, or we're located in the back, there's ways that this dude was painting the picture that drove it this direction.
I'm gonna take it into like movie mode right now. You know, SWAT team pulls up. They're surrounding the house. They're trying not to be noticed. They're gonna bust in and try to take you off guard and everything like that. There's no like thermal like camera that they look to see how many people are in the room, like if people are on their hands and knees with their arms. Like, one thermal reading shows two people sitting on a fucking couch and a dude at a fucking computer. You don't blow that door down. You know, you take a thermal reading and there's a bunch of people laying on the ground, people pacing back and forth all frantically, you know, person crouched down. Like, to me, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe this is just my stupid, you know, I've seen way too many movies, but the whole fact, like, you don't know if the minute you blow that door down that the dude that's got a gun to the back of the hostage's head just doesn't start popping people. Like, this can't just be standard procedure. Like, I don't know, man, this is just really fucked up.
Yeah, we'd have to get somebody who has some like SWAT experience to talk about what their SOPs are for these things. But as far as like thermal imaging being able to penetrate the walls of a home to identify where the people are inside, that doesn't exist.
What?
That's not a thing.
What?
That's not a thing.
Like,
you're not doing that. You're not scanning multiple rooms into a house to determine.
They ain't got predator view yet.
No, not yet. So there's limitations there, and I'm sure, like I said, the individual who's calling, like, there's a reason why, again, this guy's a service that's providing 50 some of these things. He knows exactly what to say, who to call, and
well,
how to make this.
Well, I think the service is more about how to track down the IP to get the dude's address, because I've imagined that's the hard part. I think any dummy can call the cops.
But I think after 50 times, you got some lessons learned there on, like, oh, well, I called them, I said this last time, and all they did was knock on the door kindly. And then you just you start to build out which ones get the response of them kicking
I've
down the door.
I've watched like a top 10 swatting videos on YouTube.
You're the problem.
And like, well, I guess I contributed.
You gave them ad dollars.
Like, you see these people streaming, all of a sudden they like hear something, and they're like, oh shit, I think I'm getting swatted. And like, mad guys at the computer will just, they'll stick their hands up because they know the cops are coming around the corner any second, or they're like, I think I'm getting swatted. And then sure as shit, get your fucking hands up, bro! You're just like, just playing a game. Like, it's so fucked up, man. So fucked up.
It's terrible. All right, let's leave this dysfunctional world of ours.
Again, anytime we have these fucked up conversations, it's good to start a conversation on space and just leave this horrid planet.
Yeah, let's jet out of the dysfunctional world and do a little bit of space talk. There's two articles that we found of particular interest. The first one being that there was water found on a potential super Earth. So this is in a distant planet, but It's found in what I found really interesting about this is I'm not always kind of reading articles and things like this, is that there's been water atmospheres type found in other planets, but what makes this one special as an exoplanet being outside of our solar system is that not only was there water vapor identified, but it's also in what's considered the habitable zone of a solar system. So that means it's just far enough away from the sun.
The Goldilocks zone, they like to call it.
Yeah, it's where it's between 0 and 40 degrees Celsius, estimated based off of kind of the radiation on the surface of that planet is similar to the radiation that we're having here. So you can estimate that it's around the same temperature here. It has the presence of water vapor. No idea if there's actual like water on the surface, or even if there's like a rocky land surface. It might just be a gas planet, is what. But it's still just interesting. I find it interesting how they even figure this stuff out.
Yeah, you know, it's not like we got probes out there. It's crazy that what the human mind and what we're capable of, you know, and at the same time, we still have crazy, simple, stupid problems here on the planet. we're able to detect water on a planet that we'll never reach in the next, you know, couple centuries. Like, we can't go there.
111 light years away.
Yeah, like, we can't do any of this. Like, it is all useless information at this point right now.
No, but we can't agree if we're causing a mass extinction event on our own planet.
Yeah. Like, you know, but like we can't come to consensus on climate change.
The way they identify, though, is because obviously we can't take samples. The way they identify if it has water vapor is just purely off of, as like, they're looking at the red giant star that's the center of the solar system, and as the planet passes it, you get that little
water,
tiny,
yeah, the light fraction
glimpse, yeah, of light fraction that as it passes.
We're looking for rainbows in planets.
And that's it. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, that's exactly what it is. Is we're hunting for rainbows from 111 light years away, and we found
one. It gives you some nice warm feels in your heart, doesn't it? We're looking in space for rainbows.
So, but we found one, and it means at least there's presence of water vapor in the atmosphere. Not necessarily means that there's water on the land, or if that there's even land at all. It like I said, it may just be a dense gas giant that the water just kind of circulates in the atmosphere, never materializing on the ground. But it's interesting. Scientists are pretty excited about this. They're debating whether this is considered a super Earth or a small Neptune, what type of planet it is. There's a lot to be learned about this planet, but it's now in the queue of something that we'll be studying pretty heavily.
Now that they figure that we might inhabit this planet at some point in humanity's future, they're going to study the shit out of this thing. There's going to be a camera on it at all times, you know.
Within 10 years, they say like these things are going to be so easily to be mapped out through AI, through improved telescopes and imaging that's going to come out.
If they
and
let AI us systems build these
that
telescopes.
Can track. Yeah. And that's, you know, we talked about that, you know, a couple months ago now about the Hawaiian telescope. Neil deGrasse Tyson was recently on Joe Rogan. He talked about it too. I don't know if you saw that one.
Yeah, he gave a pretty vague opinion on his stance with it.
Yeah, it really was. He was trying not to offend anybody there, saying, well, if you don't want it, then we won't build it, but you should probably understand that it's significantly beneficial to the human race if you allow us to build
it. Yeah, I'm gonna plant my flag in the sand here and say I don't give a fuck about your imaginary god friend. I want to advance humanity, and if that helps us get off this planet or fix ours or understand science better, you know, Machu Picchu or whatever the fuck you want to call him, he's got to go, man. like, sorry about it. Like, I'm not going to let humanity suffer, you know, advancements because an ancient imaginary god. They talk about it like it's sacred land, like there's actual ancestors buried there and things like that. It's like, you know, it's sacred in the same way that my fucking Lazy Boy is sacred. I won't let my kids sit on it. Okay, that's fucking.
Oh, that's hard. Oh, you just
that's how sacred it is. Okay, it's pretty. It's been there for a long time. You've been there for a long time. You don't want people fucking with it. I get it, but let's be real here.
Send your
hate mail, Steve,
Polynesian hate mail to Steve at thenerdcantina.com. You just put a sacred area to the same as a Lazy Boy chair. That's rough. But
send a digimail, brother. Send a digimail. You fucking dicks.
I tend to agree that I hope we get past these things. You know, the scientific community isn't putting it there needlessly. They're they are placing it there because of unique conditions that exist there on that mountain that allow us to get images that don't exist elsewhere.
And they said it's not going to be visible. You know, it's only going to be visible from certain angles on the mountain at certain times. You know, they're not trying to put this big fucking thing right at the tip so everybody could see it and you can't get your fucking Instagram photos from the base anymore. Aloha, I'm vacay. You know, like, no, it's going to be all right. You know, and Tyson said flat out, you know, if they don't build it there, they're going to build it somewhere else, not as good, like in Peru or something like that. And I have a lot of friends in Hawaii still. Half my daughter's family lives in Hawaii, and there's not a lot of jobs there.
I was building this thing. These are six-figure jobs.
Yeah,
you know, these are engineering jobs. These are some significant jobs brought to the community. So I'm not going to tell people.
That's always been my point. Is if you want to pick a fight about building it, then pick the right fight. Say, okay, if we're going to build this here, it's got to be all Hawaiian contractors. You can't bring in contractors from the mainland. We need 40% Hawaiian engineers working at this full time at all time. Like, you can bring in whatever scientists you want, but a certain percentage of engineers, scientists, whoever works there, janitors, I don't give a fuck. A certain percentage of them have to come from U of H or wherever. Like, pick the right battle. Like, instead of just saying, nah, brah. big sky man live top island, brah. We know one picture taker on top of island, brah.
Oh. All right, I've hit my comfort level on this. we're gonna move to another thing being talked about with Space Talk this week, and I really don't have the technical understanding to grasp the story very well. And it's just talking about they've identified that it's pretty much proven some of Einstein's theories of relativity relating to black holes. They've identified that yes, in newborn black holes, they're able to identify the ringing of black holes through sound waves, or gravity waves that are identify its size, identify its spin, identify a lot of characteristics of it that were predicted through.
Yeah, this isn't as easy to explain as distant rainbows.
And yeah, and if I'm terribly wrong, I don't care. Just you can keep those yourself because I'm probably never going to figure this out. Why I find this interesting is, man, I'm long overdue for like picking up a biography, a biopic of Einstein, because we're still fighting and trying to prove this dude wrong, and we can't.
Yeah, people have loved to disprove Einstein's theories, because like I think that's a lot of life goals for these egghead scientists, is just to like, if I could just prove Einstein wrong, you know, maybe I'll get a black and white poster with my tongue sticking out one day. they just want to prove his ass wrong. And sometimes they do. They think they got him proved wrong. And then we find some other kind of crazy black hole sound wave discovery. Yeah. And it's like, nope, dude was right. You're an idiot.
Yeah, and we're talking about a dude who like literally was doing the shit on chalkboards, and part of it is because like the dry erase board wasn't invented yet. Yeah. Like, this motherfucker is
no computers, no computer mapping, no high level, you know, calculations or anything like dude was sniffing that straight chalk dust every day.
It is amazing. I need to do more research, just kind of personally, just for the sake of, man, I don't know enough about Einstein as a person to really probably appreciate the work that he put in, because you still hear stories here in 2019 of, man, just man, like,
dude, we from now 1940s finally have the tools. Shits on scientists, yeah. 50, we, 80 years we later.
Now finally have the tools to do some of the study and discovery to validate what this dude did on a chalkboard. And
it's not like an apple falling on Newton's head and it's like, oh, now we know how to prove that. Like, no. Like, this dude just wasn't just sitting under a tree and got hit in the head. Like, he's quantifying like all kinds of crazy mathematical, and, you know, foundations that
but even like Newton's theories of gravity don't hold true. They hold true in our Earth and whatever else, but they don't hold true in the extremes. They don't hold true when you talk about gravity in like interplanetary, when you talk about gravity with black holes or whatever else. Before we could even determine that black holes existed, we had Einstein coming up with theories that still hold true today now that we know and we can measure them. And that, to me, is astounding.
Science in general, especially when we get to this crazy space mapping and all this stuff, it is so beyond, you know, our level of comprehension. But yet you feel almost, especially as a nerd, kind of tied to it. Like, I can't comprehend 90% of this shit. But it's so fascinating to me. It's so fascinating that we're able to piece these things together. And like every couple of years, you get a nice little breakthrough, and we get to understand the universe a little better. And you get to kind of, you know, Rogan says it all the time. You know, we're a bunch of space chimps floating on a rock in the middle of infinity, going a fucking million miles an hour, like. Just that concept alone is fucking crazy. Fucking crazy. No,
it really is. Like every time you hear stories about like this water found on the super Earth or whatever else, and you hear the crazy amount of things that had to have just accidentally come together to allow us to exist is wild.
Yeah, people always talk about, you know, the meaning of life, and like people are looking for miracles. Your existence on this fucking planet is one of the craziest miracles to ever happen in the universe. And to think that, one, we may not be the smartest people in the galaxy, and there's other people around here zooming around laughing at us, is mind-boggling that that's a possibility. Or the possibility that we are the smartest motherfuckers in the universe, and we're the first ones trying to figure this out. And I hope to God that's not true, because if we're the smartest people, if we're the smartest creatures in the known universe, that's scary. That's scary.
No, so I tend to not think it as scary. Is it really intelligence that we seek to expand outward and understand everything outward so much? Like, maybe there's other intelligent beings out there that are just smart enough to just focus on their own existence and not try to understand everything and not try to live in
there's
this
just some crazy alien out there talking about mind your business. Yeah. Mind your business, yeah. Assholes. What are you looking at?
we've become so intelligent that we are perpetually unsatisfied with our own existence, and we have to study and do everything else, and we can never just stop.
Some alien right now who's got a president talking about build a wall to wall us off from looking at him and trying to go over there. And he's going to make us pay for it.
All right. Back to Earth. Let's come back down and talk a little bit of tech news. In since we talked about this a couple months ago when the Huawei ban was put on, and you know, there's still the strained relationships between, you know, China and U.S. when we talk about tariffs, we talk about other things, as well as then the security threats that we identified as Huawei being essentially considered a company of espionage, banning U.S. companies from dealing with Huawei. And then now we see Huawei, who is the leader in 5G technology, and 5G is going to be important towards future development. And Huawei is opening and offering the U.S. to openly license their products, all of their 5G technology,
yeah.
Which right now we don't have a single U.S. company that's competing in the 5G space. You have like Ericsson, which is Norwegian, is the only like non-Chinese company competing, and then nothing in U.S.
Yeah.
We have like, who's making the chips? Like Qualcomm is, they're making chips as a piece of it, but nothing that like is end-to-end
5G. Well, I think this is more of a sign as to how powerful the American economy is, right? Like that you will have a Chinese company wanting our money, basically. You know, they just want our money so bad that they're just like, look, fuck it, guys, here, we'll give you what we know, because for them to be locked out of the American market is pointless. Like they have to get in. Or it's the Trojan horse.
Yeah, I was going to say, or put on your tinfoil hat, and this is just them them opening it back up to as a peace offering in order to get back in. Another funny thing that I find ironic is that we've got the Chinese company offering us to use their intellectual property when they've never respected our intellectual property.
They just take it, you know, like they
you know, turn this thing around and they'll take whatever the hell they want.
Yeah. There's teams of Chinese people in labs right now, you know, taking apart phones and computers and do you, you know, what is the name? There's a word for that for
like just reverse engineering.
Yeah. So they're reverse engineering everything that comes out of this country. There's Teslas all over the place trying to figure like, yeah, they don't give a shit. So I don't understand. That's another thing I don't get is why we adhere to rules that other people won't adhere to. So if China don't give a shit about our copyrights, why do we care about China's copyrights? Like, I understand we're going to honor Norway's because Norway's honors ours and every other country that we have good foreign trade relations with, you know, but when it comes to the Chinese market, they don't give a fuck. It is China or nothing. And, you know, like, I don't understand why we don't just have, you know, our Chinese spies sending us over Huawei phones and why we don't have a team of people reverse engineering all this shit.
Yeah, well, I mean, what would you do with it if you allow it? Would it just be unlicensed technology that we reverse engineer? Or we just let people openly reverse engineer it and then what? Patent it here in the U.S.
Yep.
Let one company patent it here.
Let it just be an open patent from the government. It's our gift from the United States to Apple, to Microsoft, to Amazon, whoever wants to use it. Here we go. Some crazy China motherfucker came up with this cool That'll little gadget happen. Here. Here's an open patent for anybody in the United States that wants to use it.
That's never happening.
I mean, they've stole billions, if not trillions of dollars worth of intellectual technology from our companies. Why shouldn't our government hand some of that back to our corporations?
It kind of defeats our argument on trying to put leverage
for the high road. Like we're just not going
to
do it for the high road.
Well, potentially. I mean, it's potentially a slippery slope of every country. Everybody follows our lead. So if we start doing it, then every country who doesn't have a trade agreement or whatever else is going to start doing it.
And as long as they're only fucking China over, who cares? this is like the entire school turning around and picking on the bully, right? You know, like China's the intellectual property bully. He's just going to kick you in the balls and take your lunch money. And he's not going to give a shit. So we team up and get every other developed country that makes these products to turn around. And yeah, some of us are going to get kicked in the balls, but he can't kick us all in the balls. And some lucky country like fucking Norway gets the swift kick to him and like, hey guys, I got all our lunch money back and divvy it out accordingly.
I don't see this working, but I don't see this working out in our favor here. But we'll see if
I mean, what's the worst going to happen? Trump, we get another $100 billion in tariffs in fucking, yeah, in a, yeah.
We'll see. Like I said, President Trump has to take the bait. It's still largely closed off. Huawei is, and you know, just because they're offering this, does this change away the national security concerns of the company? No.
To me, no.
So, I don't know if this has really. If this is going to turn into anything other than just really a publicity stunt from Huawei. But they got us talking about it. They win.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, the civilized world needs to let China know that they have to play by the rules. And, you know, it's not going to happen with just the United States putting tariffs on, you know, going into a trade war back and forth with us all. You know, the rest of the world's going to have to participate in this at some point if China's ever going to, can, you know, shape up and become a team player in the global economy rather than this crazy ass country where it's the wild west of economics and they're just building islands in the middle of the ocean and claiming it's Chinese territory just to close off shipping lanes and like If you don't know, man, do some research on China. China's trying to fuck you over.
They are doing a lot. So yes, you should understand what's going on in the South China Sea. You should do some research into those things, both for economic expansion as well as military expansion.
I mean, we say economics, like we have to be, you know, in politics or, you know, own a business or something for this to affect you. Like, most of the shit you buy comes from China. Like, if you do shopping at all, some part of something that you are buying came from China. Like, this affects your life. You know, I don't care what figure, what game, what you are buying as a nerd that you love. Most likely some of it came from China, and you should give a shit about this.
And it depends how deep you want to go into, you know, economic and political talk, because you also have China printing $50 trillion over the last several months.
Oh, yeah. They just printed.
How much of that gets dumped into our economy?
Oh, they said they dumped half of it. They dumped like $25 trillion into the United States economy that they just printed. They just they have no backing for it. Like, money.
Do some research, nerds.
Yeah.
Understand the world around you. these are going to cause us problems. But let's move on before we get too deeply political and stay in tech stuff. And hey, we've been talking, that's pretty much since like episode one, we've been talking about the streaming wars, and it's never going to end. Like,
we're legitimately on the ground floor. We're on the ground floor of the streaming wars. Yeah. This is going to be great.
It is legitimately a war out there of trying to steal everybody's $4.99, $9.99, whatever it happens to be.
You got $5, TV we announces, fucking want it.
Apple TV announced this week their official plans to launch the Apple TV Plus, which is going to come out, I think, around the same time as Disney Plus. We're looking here in the next couple months. They undercut everybody now at $4.99, but they probably need to undercut everybody because it doesn't have a strong lineup as far as original content. There was like one show with the trailers going on with like Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
You know that everybody's blind, which actually society. Looks like an intriguing show. It's a weird idea.
I don't know. It seems a little weird because you got this faction of society that wants to stay blind. Who the fuck wants to stay blind? Show me,
dude.
Show me, like if we have any blind listeners out there, please send me in an email and explain to me why, if science could give you your sight back, you'd be like, nah, brah, I'm good. Like, I have the Be My Eyes app. So for those that don't know, do a little good in your life, download the Be My Eyes app. And every like once a month, I get a FaceTime call on my phone from a blind person I've helped someone pick out an outfit for a job interview. I've read labels on prescription drugs for people. I once checked to let a dude know if his steak was still good. Because he pulled it out of the freezer and didn't know if it was discolored or not.
I've never heard of this.
There's a Be My Eyes app, and there's like a 1.something million blind people use this app, and there's like 300,000-400,000 users like me that have eyes, and if they are in a situation where they just need somebody to help them out, read something, tell them something, they could hit this app. It randomly calls somebody. And you get to FaceTime with a blind person and make their day a little bit easier, you know. So I've interacted with a few blind people. The fact that that app exists leads me to believe
that's fucking awesome.
Leads me to believe that blind people don't want to be blind. So I don't know how like set in stone this premise is that, you know.
Yeah, you're talking about this show. It's generations of people who've been blind. So, you know, this is like the people want to protect the top of a mountain. You just hold hold things sacred, whether it makes sense towards humanity or not. And you know, maybe they're afraid that the seeing people are going to dominate the world and dominate human existence. So you might as well just be on level playing field with everybody and
I don't know about this one, man. I don't know about this one.
No, either way, it looks like it's well put together. It's somewhat interesting concept, but like that's it.
They put out like, hey, we got a streaming service and this show, and it's like
Jason Momoa and he's blind, which he doesn't need a shirt ever.
because he can't find it.
And who the fuck? And somehow blind ass people tattooed the shit out of him, and it looks great.
Yeah, man, I don't know about this show, bro. I don't know. You know, and the thing too with Apple is Apple's such assholes when it comes to, like, you can't just buy a random phone charger. You have to have our phone charger, and we're going to change it every 3 years. So you have to buy new phone chargers. Like, you know, Disney Plus, the minute it comes out, it's got apps for everything, you know, on the Xbox. It's going to have apps for your phone, to Chromecast, you know, you're going to be able to watch it the day it comes out. You don't have to worry about any of that. Apple, I couldn't find anything in the article that tells you how you're going to be able to watch it. I'm willing to bet I'm going to have to buy a $50 fucking box just to be able to stream it. So it's like, oh, you're only paying us $5 a month and getting millions of people to buy this $50 fucking box that probably costs you $3 to make.
Yeah. What, I've never owned an Apple device. I'm that guy who is always taking a stance against Apple, but this isn't going to get me to buy my first little Apple device here. The streaming service is weak at the start. I don't know what content they're bringing, what old content they're bringing, what you know, arrangements or licensing deals do they have with other people. The original 10 shows that they came up with, you know, again,
yeah, and they said when Apple announced this, all the streaming service stocks took a hit, which to me, just
that's one does, day,
yeah. Well, that's stock market speculation and a bunch of fucking morons that don't know what the fuck's going on. I don't understand how you can write an article where, like, Disney Plus should be scared of this. Like, Disney Plus is coming out, like, beating the shit out of everybody. It's like the old 80s, like, Royal Rumble, and all of a sudden, like, Hogan runs out in the middle and just starts flipping over everybody over the fucking ropes and dropping boots in people's fucking chests. You know, like, they're just like, Mandalorian, Obi-Wan, Duck fucking Tails.
1990s, like, X-Men, the series, like, animated X-Men series, everything. Animated
series. They're just dropping bows on all these streaming services, and they're like, hey, Apple TV. And it's just like, who cares? Like, take that elbow too, buddy. Like, I don't get why. Like, Disney Plus in November is going to kill these fucking people. They're just going to fucking kill them, because people will eventually go back to their Netflixes and Hulus, and they'll watch their shows. But for that first month when Disney Plus drops, man, it's that's the only app that's gonna be on people's TV for a minute. Even just with the nostalgia they're gonna have on there.
Yeah, and what we saw, which you know, there were articles that came out, is that the war is really heating up between these services. And
is it
somehow,
really though?
somehow, some way, Bob Iger, the CEO of Disney, was on the board of directors of Apple. I probably should have done some research to figure out how that happens in the first place. How is Disney and Apple so intertwined? But he just resigned from the board of Apple. As I'm sure once Apple, they released the news on Apple Plus, he said, "All right, I'm out. I'm going to focus on my Apple Plus killing
Thanks
service
for the
over
insider
here."
Info. Disney Plus. I'm going to go over here and shit in your sandbox.
So somehow Bob Iger was there, but
that just lets you know how concentrated the money is in the corporate world and in tech and stuff like that. It's, you got 100, 200 people that are just running everything and taking all the money with them. It's really fucked up, kind of, when you really think about it.
Yeah, no, that's what I say. I didn't know that he was the board. To me, it caught me so off guard that I couldn't even imagine a possibility that one of the biggest media company in the world was also somehow on the board of the biggest tech company. Where do you find the time? I don't know. I just don't get it. It doesn't make sense. But so yeah, he quits.
My doctoral sense is tingling as we talk about monopolization.
But I mean, the streaming wars continues, and we're going to keep seeing everybody fighting for $4.99, $9.99. Everybody's going to keep doing these things. And, you know, we see in Netflix, I don't know if I didn't share the article with you beforehand to prime you for it, but I don't know if you saw that there was on a couple of days ago, I think it was September 10th, there was supposed to be like a mass Netflix subscription canceling because of the canceling of OA.
Really?
Yeah, so I know you were a fan of OA. I've never seen the show.
It's actually a really crazy show. I
know,
it was good.
And it's hard for me to jump into it now knowing that it's dead. And I don't like jumping into things knowing that I'm never going to feel satisfied.
They end season two off definitely with like how season three was going to start. But yeah, you could still watch season one and two, and the cliffhanger isn't like going to leave you with too many unanswered questions. Like,
but yeah, there was like a big Reddit kind of a subscription protest essentially against Netflix canceling all these shows that people are liking. And the way it looks is that like Netflix is canceling shows. It's hard to know why Netflix cancels shows, because we don't get traditional like Nielsen ratings to know that a show is, you know, succeeding in ad dollars. So we don't know why they cancel shows. Sometimes it looks like just because shows are getting long enough that they have to pay the cast more and more, and they can just, hey, it's budget, just cut that one, we'll start a new one, start from scratch somewhere else. And
it's the rookie quarterback contracts. They're getting a lot of these shows for pennies on the dollar. Then they get some popularity, and everybody wants their cut, and their cut is cutting into the profits of Netflix. And fuck it,
yeah, because they don't really monetize individual shows, and so it ends up on Reddit they put together this mass protest where they were trying to get tons of people to cancel subscriptions all on September 10th in protest of Netflix arbitrarily canceling shows.
But it's not just streaming services that have been doing this. Network television has been doing this for fucking decades. You know, that's why.
But it was more transparent. Why
we just talked about with Firefly getting canceled. And, you know, I was a big Angel fan. I loved that show. They canceled Angel while they were on their winter break and told them they had 6 episodes to wrap it up when they came back. So you got this 6-season show with a really deep underlying plot. And they told Joss Whedon, you got 6, pal. You got 6, and we're not going to air anymore. So fucking wrap it up. Yeah, but
like I said, it was more transparent in traditional TV because you could see the ratings. You can see ad dollars, whether they're coming in or not.
Yeah, the analytics for streaming services are very cryptic and hidden. Like, you don't know. And I honestly think that, you know, fans are able to get some of these shows back, right? You know, email writing campaigns and sharing campaigns have saved shows like Arrested Development, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. A handful of shows have come back from the dead because of strong fan reactions.
Well, and this was the hope of these OA fans. And actually, I like this. I hope this becomes a bigger thing, because now that everybody's fighting for our $4.99 or $5.99, and it's unlike old school cable, like, you know, if NBC pissed you off, what were you going to do? Just stop watching NBC? Boy, no, you weren't. You were going to watch some other shows that you liked on there because everything exists there. But for you to just cancel Netflix for a month, right? It's super easy just to come in and out of these subscriptions. So with these subscription models, hey, maybe it gives consumers a little bit of like legitimate, hey, we can have a 3% decrease in subscriptions of Netflix or something by having these mass protests for a month. Well, that would actually have a significant effect on stock prices, on subscription numbers for Netflix. Yeah, maybe it gives the consumer some level.
Well, my fear is that this then gets them to pivot into terms of service that make it way harder for you to cancel. I remember
like cable models where you're on like a 2-year contract.
Yeah, or like the old cell phone plans where like you signed a 2-year cell phone contract, and whether you use that cell phone or not, we're going to send that fucking bill.
Like, or like how Disney Plus just got me and you to buy 3-year subscriptions.
Man, I am not mad at that though. I am not mad at that. That was worth every penny. So for those that don't know, we were sharing it a lot in our Facebook group at thenerdcantina.com/community. Someone shared a Labor Day sale that Disney Plus was having. And if you prepaid for 2 years of Disney Plus, you got a third year free. So essentially we got Disney Plus for like $3.78 a month, I think it came out to, or something.
Yeah.
They put in that article. I'm sorry, they're not going anywhere. That is worth every dollar I spent on it.
Yeah, I think it's going to I think Disney Plus is going to be good. I think Apple TV is going to be a weird beast. Some people are speculating that it's going to be a money pit for Apple because they're going to have to keep putting in money into doing this.
Yeah, but
a
you,
lot
got,
of the
you
subscriptions,
got people like CBS coming out with their own app for Picard and stuff. Like, well, if CBS right now, can figure out how to make money with all their old people shows, like, I mean, think about it. If they were to came out with a streaming service 15, 20 years ago, they'd have been streaming like Murder, She Wrote and fucking Magnum PI. And like, who's paying monthly to watch Hawaiian 5-0?
But it supports their business model. Now you're taking Apple TV. You're telling them to dump money into a whole new arm of business to create content. They don't necessarily have strong licensing deals with other people right now. And then, not to mention, they're giving away the subscription for free to people who are already buying their devices. So if you buy an iPhone, you buy a Mac, you buy an iPad, you buy any Apple device, you're getting a year subscription for free. Well, half of you idiots who are Apple users, you're buying a new device every year anyway. So this is just an add-on, and if you're going to start paying, you're going to actually start paying actors, you're going to actually start coming up with original content that's going to be worthwhile. It's a money pit. Is it really going to be that profitable for you? Maybe. But for the first couple of years, it's just going to drain money.
Well, we also have that story of who was it that tried to sign J.J. Abrams? So you have like these companies putting out these big contracts.
So Apple tried to.
Yeah, Apple tried to sign J.J. for what, $500 million? Or that's what he left on the table was $500 million.
He didn't take $500 million because they were going to do exclusive that he could only produce content for Apple TV.
Yeah, it was an exclusivity contract, and he was like, "No, I'm going to go make movies for other studios and shit while I work for you." Like, and Apple was like, "No, we own JJ." They were trying to treat him like a comic book artist, you know, like
they were trying to own Bad Robot. So Bad Robot is his production company, his TV production company. He still could have made movies, I believe, elsewhere, but Bad Robot, his TV production company, would have only existed in Apple.
Yeah. So, I mean, people, everyone's trying to pivot and trying to get the most for their dollars. And it'd be really interesting to sit in these board meetings and hear these strategies that people are and what they predict the future is going to be like, because they're all basing this off of what they see television is in the next 5 years, right?
Yeah.
You know,
which is why you're getting these exclusive contracts from Netflix, offering people hundreds of millions of dollars to be producers and trying to lock people up so they can't.
I want to be in a board meeting elsewhere for like Comcast or Time Warner and see if they're like the Atlantic Records of the two decades ago. Like, what do you mean no one's going to buy CDs anymore? You know, like, we got all these fucking CDs we got to sell. What do you mean you can listen to all your music on this little digi box? Like, what the fuck is an iPod?
Yeah, you've got to imagine the cable companies are
scrambling, man.
Scared
they're scrambling.
Of their future.
They got
to
be scrambling.
They have to be looking at like their 10-year plan and thinking, oh, we're not making it. Like, you just going to do it off of selling broadband internet?
Yeah.
While Elon Musk just came out and said that they're way past projections for Starlink to be up in the United States in the next couple of years. Like, the internet competition, because there's monopolies on your actual like land-based internet coming from the cable companies. Well, what are you going to do when Elon and Amazon and everybody's launching these satellites to go and say, fuck your infrastructure. We don't need to dig holes.
Yeah.
We don't need government. We don't need government
interwebs from the space. Yeah.
and I mean, that was essentially the way to defeat cable companies and current broadband internet, which has a governmental backed
monopoly. I don't have a lot of faith in that just because I had DirecTV at one point, and anybody that's had DirecTV knows when that fucking shitty gray cloud comes around and your TV starts giving that boop, that signal boost, boop, boop, and you're in the middle of watching the fucking Bears game and it's fourth quarter, you know, 3rd and 10 with 3 minutes left, and all of a sudden it's a little overcast in your neighborhood and there goes your fucking TV, you know? So I don't know how this Starlink is going to fare with Mother Nature.
Not an issue. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not going to be an issue in the the spectrum that they're operating.
DirecTV is still around, so obviously people they're able to not solve that problem, but it's not as a problem big enough for anybody to give a shit.
Either way, Apple TV coming out soon. The streaming wars will continue. They're not going anywhere. So everybody, you know, have your $30, $40 a month budget of streaming services and pick the six that you want or five that you want.
Yeah, you gotta print out a list of TV shows and just be like, all right, well, I need this one. Yeah. I need this one.
From January, February, I'm going to have these two streaming services. Yeah. And then, I mean, it is going to be weird. I think it gives us more control as consumers, but at the same point, as more and more of these come out, it's going to be so convoluted. I'm not
just
looking
forward
to that.
Folks, there's no reason for you to be paying for fucking DC Universe. there's absolutely no reason for you to give a shit about that one.
All right, well, I think that's it for the weekly news here. So there's a lot going on. Hopefully you enjoyed the show, and hopefully you come and join us after the show at thenerdcantina.com/community, which will redirect you to our closed Facebook group. We try to share all these articles and continue to have conversations well before we get to this episode, and then follow up with them afterwards.
Yeah, and don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel. I'm trying to push out some more of the review videos. I found that our free video editor program does not sync up my mouth to my words very, very well. So I'm putting that on a short hiatus so I can figure that all out, because the last few videos have been very frustrating. I've almost chucked my monitor 3 times now on 3 separate occasions.
Yeah.
So
for his sanity, that's a plug for patreon.com/thenerdcantina. That'll allow us to actually purchase software and to afford some greater production.
Yeah, I got mad love for the people that put out all this free software, the Audacities, the Shotcuts. I got nothing but love for you guys. You've helped us get us this far, but now we got to figure something out, because now I've surpassed the technical skills of the Audacities and the Shotcuts, and I need something a little better, higher quality, before I really just pull my hair out and motherfuck the world.
Yeah, so if you've got a dollar to spare and you care about Steve's sanity, please support us on patreon.com. And you get a sticker or a magnet. Let us know. we'll send you some swag and join one of the tiers over there on Patreon, as it really does go a long way, and it's greatly appreciated. It allows us to become more professional in what we're doing here and make this actually a viable future for where we're going.
So as always, we thank you guys for listening and coming out, and we'll see you guys next week.
Talk to you later, nerds. Real quick, we just wanted to mention one of our favorite new apps, which is PodCoin. So assuming that because you're listening to our podcast today, that you happen to be a podcasting nerd. And if you are, I can't see any reason why you wouldn't want to get paid for your time.
I'm a big fan of getting paid to do stuff that I do in my daily routine. Anyways, I have signed up for all the rewards programs possible. And with PodCoin, you actually get paid to listen to podcasts. So every minute that goes by that you're listening to your podcast, you are throwing away potential money.
So go ahead, download PodCoin app on either through iTunes or through the Google Play Store. And when you sign up with the promo code Nerd Cantina.
One word. That'll get you 300 free coins towards your account and get you on your way to earning that first reward from either Amazon gift card, Target gift cards, all kinds of things. You could also donate your coins to your favorite charity that they offer. If you're going to be listening to podcasts anyways, you might as well get some free stuff for doing it. So download the PodCoin app, put in the code Nerd Cantina, get your free coins, and start earning money while you listen to our show.